You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. The baseball Tigers fall for the first time in the midweek. We will go over some regional projections coming up here in just a bit, but got to start with some LSU football talk. Massively significant news for LSU football today. And I don't want to overstate this, but it's massive. Major Burns has committed to LSU. If you're not familiar, Major Burns is a kid from Baton Rouge, went to Madison Prep, committed to LSU in 2019, decommitted, ultimately signed with Georgia, played his freshman year this season at Georgia, and entered the transfer portal, and now is committed again to LSU. I want to remind you, when Major Burns committed to LSU back in the summer of 2019, it was June of 2019, remember, going into what ended up being the greatest season in college football history, Major Burns committed with this video, penning an emotional letter to his dad.
Dear Dad, let me start by saying how much I wish you were here. One of the core building blocks we relied on for stability was pulled right under my feet when I was only 16 years old. Life didn't wait for me. I had to move forward without your physical guidance and presence. I had to clear the obstacles blocking the path you laid out for me. Every count, every rep, every game.
Gotta want it right here.
We gotta want it right here, baby.
You were there. I am here today because of you. We walked this journey together, and I know you will be by my side for the next chapter. This is for you, Dad. Welcome to our new home. Go Tigers.
That was how Major Burns committed to LSU in June of 2019. Tiger details, by the way, with the video. That's how Major Burns committed to LSU. It was very emotional, and obviously it seemed like it was the place he wanted to be. And for whatever reason in the recruiting process, as we came closer to signing day in December of 2019, early December, Major Burns decommitted from LSU before then committing to Georgia, signing with Georgia, and then playing his freshman season this last year in Athens. Let me remind you how critical the safety spot is at LSU. Of course, last year, they were not good. Like, let's just be honest. LSU safeties last year, it was a gigantic liability. LSU was last in the country in yards per play. They allowed more explosive plays than any team in the SEC, among the worst in college football. And in large part, that's because safety play was very bad. Derek Stingley and Elias Ricks are very good cornerbacks. What happened was you had safeties with Jacoby Stevens and Maurice Hampton and Jordan Toles and Todd Harris, and you just didn't get very good safety play. Now, Maurice Hampton has left the program. Jacoby Stevens is off to the NFL. You're left with Todd Harris, Jordan Toles, Cam Lewis, and a converted cornerback in Jay Ward. I don't think anybody would look at that spot and say you're settled. This is a massive get, so massive that Ed Ogeron had one scholarship left. Remember, initial 25. When you're using this transfer, it counts toward your initial 25. So they had one left. And your option, if you're Ed Ogeron, was save that spot for maybe a quarterback transfer or maybe an offensive lineman potentially who could be a starting player for you, or let that scholarship count toward next year so you can backfill and sign 26 in this upcoming class. He had a lot of options, but ultimately decided this was such a big need and the right player at the right position that they were going to pull the trigger in using the last scholarship for this class on Major Burns. 6'2", 175 pounds. Let me remind you, Todd Harris is back, but Todd Harris, as he started his career, was a very good player for LSU. And he was in 2017, he was ascending through 2018, played in 11 games. Then in 2019, he was a starter and played just three games towards ACL that year against Northwestern State, if you remember. Never really returned to form this past year. He played in 10 games in 2020, 30 tackles, two interceptions, but never really returned to form. Jordan Toles played in eight games as a freshman, just four tackles. Cam Lewis has played in 29 career games, mostly as a backup and on special teams. In his entire career, 29 career games, 33 tackles. You do not have an established presence at safety. This gives you a proven option at safety. A guy who is a true safety, who's 6'2", who's long, who can play center field for you. You have that option now with Major Burns. And when you look at what the biggest, the absolute undeniable biggest needs on this team were defensively, it was safety and it was linebacker. And they were not too great at linebacker in the spring game, but of course you didn't have Bug Strong in the spring game. You didn't have Micah Baskerville this spring, and Mike Jones wasn't on campus yet, but you addressed it by bringing in Mike Jones. Your big question mark remaining personnel-wise was safety, and now you've addressed it. So Major Burns, Baton Rouge kid from Madison Prep, a one-time LSU commit, spent his freshman season at Georgia, recently entered the transfer portal, is now committed to LSU, and figures to be an instant impact guy in that secondary for this LSU defense. Okay, we will talk about the LSU baseball team losing in the midweek for the first time all season. That's coming up, but we're brought to you by Built Bar. And BuiltBar.com, the best-tasting protein bar in the world, is Built Bar. Yes, that's my opinion, but I feel you would share the same opinion if you try it. Looked in the pantry this morning. I have four Built Bar left. Texted my wife and said, please order me more Built Bar, because she handles all the online ordering and stuff. I know, don't judge me for that, but it's what it is. All you need to know is that Built Bar has 18 different flavors. It is high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, perfect for keto. It's soft and chewy like a candy bar, not thick and chalky like most protein bars. Trust me, try Built Bar. You will never order or never eat another protein bar in your life. And we're saving you money on your order as well. Use the code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar in the world is Built Bar. Order yours today at BuiltBar.com. So the baseball Tigers lose in the midweek for the first time this season. They dropped the Tuesday night game to Northwestern State 7-3 out at Alec Box Stadium. We will talk what this means as far as regional projections and stuff coming up in just a bit. Teddy Cahill of Baseball America will be here with us. But this was a day where, because of the storms in Baton Rouge on Monday, it was very uncertain if the game was even going to be played. They moved first pitch up to 5 o'clock, and it was just very clear that LSU wasn't ready to go. Here's Paul Menieri after the loss.
Disappointing day, to be honest with you. Our only hiccup really all year in a midweek game. And I didn't really expect that to happen. I thought our kids knew how to kind of prepare themselves and be ready to go. I think the way the weather was the last couple of days, I just think they didn't really believe we were truly going to play today. And weather was atrocious last night. We had flooding. The weather was predicted to be bad all day today. And no matter how many times you tell them, you've got to get yourself mentally ready and focused and believe we're going to play, and don't believe what the people tell you about the weather. We've got the tarp on the field and so forth. You know, it's sometimes hard to get yourself mentally ready, and you could just really tell that our guys were just not focused on the game today.
I know most fans won't like hearing that from a coach, in essence, blaming the weather and those circumstances for a loss. He's not wrong in that it was very obvious. I was in the stadium yesterday for the game last night. There was a lack of focus, a lack of energy, and in part that probably had something to do with what transpired over the past 24 hours in Baton Rouge. But you do have to overcome that. And Palmieri did elaborate a bit more.
It was just one of those bad games. We haven't had a game like that in a long time this season. And certainly we haven't had one in the middle of the week all year. And obviously it was disappointing the last game, the last midweek game of the year, the last home game of the year to have a game like that. But give credit to Northwestern State. They played much more inspired than we did tonight, and they deserve to win.
So a few things about the game itself, and then we'll talk big picture. LSU loses 7-3. Northwestern State put up a single run in the second on a solo homer, another run in the third, two runs in the fourth, a run scored on a bases-loaded walk and a bases-loaded hit by pitch. LSU responded with a three spot in the bottom of the seventh, but that's all that they would get after another two spot from Northwestern State in the sixth. So 7-3 was the final. Northwestern State banged out 12 hits, LSU just five. The offense never really got going, and uncharacteristic 0-for-3 day for Trey Morgan. Dylan Cruz with a big two RBI double to go 1-for-3. Even Mitchell Sanford had a base hit early in the ball game, his only hit of the day, but he tried to stretch a single into a double and got pegged at second base. It was just that kind of day for LSU offensively. But the thing that I would also point out is that LSU used eight pitchers. Helmers, Money, Brady, Fowler, Millis, Vetmeyer, George, and Hasty. Of those eight pitchers, only Trent Vetmeyer threw this past weekend against Alabama. My point is, when you get near the end of the season, you identify the guys that you're going to count on in big spots. And typically, a coach wants about five or six guys out of the bullpen they know they can trust. And we know who those guys are for this LSU team right now. They know that they're going to go to Devin Fontenot and Garrett Edwards and Javon Coleman and Ty Floyd. Like, we know the arms in a pinch that they're going to go to, and it's none of the guys that threw on Tuesday. So, understanding it was an opportunity for Palmieri to get guys work. You wish that it went better. It didn't. But in the grand scheme, that loss isn't going to hurt LSU. If you look at the RPI, LSU went from 18 to 22. That's still an incredibly impressive RPI to be right there in the high 20s at 22. Strength of schedule remains the second hardest strength of schedule in college baseball. So bottom line is, if LSU takes 2 out of 3 from Texas A&M, the loss to Northwestern State doesn't matter. If LSU loses the A&M series, a win against Northwestern State wouldn't have overcome that. So losing that game last night, as hard as it is for fans to understand sometimes, it is really inconsequential in the grand scheme. Would you like for them to play better and finish undefeated midweek? Sure. But that will have literally no bearing at all whatsoever on LSU's ability to get into the postseason or wherever they might be drawn for a regional should they get there. So disappointing, yes. Consequential, not really. You don't have to believe me because some of you are going to be skeptical. Teddy Cahill, Baseball America, national college baseball writer. We'll talk to him when we come back, and he'll kind of give us the lay of the land for LSU with respect to regional, postseason, all that stuff. That's coming up. Remember, we're brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. The NBA playoffs have begun. If you want to bet on all the NBA playoff action, you can do so at BetOnline.ag. It is safe, secure, easy to use, and it's always a little more fun when you got a little action on the game. Remember, Major League Baseball in full swing. You want to bet on all 162, futures bets, prop bets, it's all there at betonline.ag. And with the new 2021 NFL schedule released, some odds already out there for select games for the 2021 NFL season. You can place your wagers at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. And be sure when you sign up and you make your first deposit of funds, use the code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, to get your 50% welcome bonus. That's at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Shortly before our first pitch against Northwestern State, I had a chance to visit with Teddy Cahill, national baseball writer from Baseball America, to talk about LSU's regional projections and their postseason possibilities, and he gave us the absolute latest info.
LSU right now, I think, would be one of the last couple teams in the projected field. Now, that is dependent on winning this weekend at A&M. Like, it's projected for a reason. I would project them to win in College Station. But if they do so, I think that they're going to be in okay shape going into Hoover. They're going to be on the bubble no matter what here. But I think that last weekend's win against Alabama was really significant.
I think I said Auburn. Thank you. Alabama. Auburn was 2 weeks ago. What are the major factors that the committee is looking at right now when you assess a team like LSU that's on the bubble?
Well, they're looking at, you know, a number of things. It's the RPI. It's their position in the conference, so their conference record or their conference standing in the SEC's case, with it being divisions, the record is more important than whatever the standings are. They look at strength of schedule, at wins against top 50 and overall record against top 50 and top 100 RPI teams. And they like to see teams with winning records away from home. But the two biggest things here that LSU has to be concerned about is its RPI and its conference record.
So RPI is one that really the box should be checked. Does LSU, the most updated standings, have LSU with an RPI of 18? What would playing tonight against Northwestern State and this weekend against Texas A&M realistically do to that RPI?
Nothing positive happens tonight. Nothing negative probably either. But losing a home game to Northwestern State wouldn't be a great idea. This weekend against A&M, probably not going to move it a ton. They're road games, so that's useful. And A&M's a top 100 RPI team, so again, that's useful. But, you know, LSU's RPI is already, like you said, the box is basically checked. They don't have to worry about that number too much. They just need to keep it where it's at, because it being so high is significant. As a top 20 team, those teams usually make the field. And now LSU is kind of a strange top 20 RPI team, but they're as long as they can keep it in that range, it doesn't really matter whether it's 18 or 13, I don't think.
What the comp that I think a lot of us here are looking at, Teddy, is 2019 Florida, a team that had an RPI going into regionals around 27, and they were 13-17 in the conference and lost their first game in Hoover. I don't know. I don't really expect you to call to mind that team exactly, but what about that team might compare favorably to LSU this year, to where, just what you said, you go win a series at A&M, you're in regardless of what happens in Hoover?
What I remember about that Florida team is that they went to Missouri on the final weekend of the season, and Missouri was a better team than A&M, but they went on the road to Missouri the final weekend and they swept. And there had been a lot of thought of, like, well, they're out. I mean, Florida was out before that, and then all of a sudden they were in. And, you know, so it would be kind of a similar situation from that standpoint. I think that if you're going to be a 13-17 team from the SEC, you better have a really good RPI, and that's what that Florida team did, and that's what this LSU team does as well. And if you look at some other things about that Florida team, they probably line up, but just the two main line items there, 13-17, and then that big RPI, those were two big items in their favor at the end.
I think I know the answer to this question. I'm sure I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it almost out of obligation. Does LSU being a brand name impact the committee's decision?
I mean, like, I have to say out of obligation as well that it doesn't. Right. But, you know, I mean, like, there's also, they're humans, right? So you can't say it absolutely doesn't. Like, the thing that they're not going to be worried about is TV ratings. They're not going to be worried about having a program in the tournament that the people identify with or whatever. But I do think that, you know, a uniform that says LSU, you know, I mean, people have a certain mindset of what that means. And, you know, I can't say that the committee members could completely put that out of their heads.
What is a real, let's say, play this hypothetical with me, and I know, understand these are hypotheticals, but that's the fun we get to have on radio. Let's say LSU sweeps Texas A&M and makes a deep run in Hoover. Let's say plays themselves into the weekend. What's their ceiling, potentially?
Well, this year we can just rule out hosting because sure. the hosts are the hosts. So you're talking about a max of a 2 seed at that point, and then could they get to it? I'm trying to run through this in my head. To do that, they would add, like, they have 11 SEC wins now. Doing that, they would add at least 6 more. So you're talking about 17 SEC wins at that point, maybe 18 if they actually played for the title. Maybe they're a 2 seed at that point. It would be interesting, you know, because the conference tournament games count towards your conference record in the committee's eyes. It's not something that gets talked about a whole lot. It tends not to matter that much, but they do view them as conference games. So they would view LSU's conference record at the end of that at, you know, as a winning conference record. So that'd be helpful to them. It might get them onto the 2 line. But in general, I don't think that being on the 2 versus the 3 line is a massive difference for the most part. But it would make things interesting for the committee as the week would go on there and Hoover and LSU kept winning.
Would it matter as to where LSU would be sent?
It would. That is one thing that it probably would matter to. You know, there's a chance that they go to Ruston if Ruston hosted regardless. But I think that right now, if LSU got in, they're looking at being a 3 seed. If Tulane gets in, they're also probably looking at being a 3 seed. Only one of them can go to Ruston. And, you know, moving past Tulane in the committee's mind would, you know, affect that one way or the other. And, you know, obviously, as you become a 2 seed, then, you know, different things change. But it would potentially affect where they could go.
Bottom line. Looking pretty good for the Tigers. Go take 2 this weekend in College Station, and you're all but assured a spot in the NCAA tournament. We will certainly be watching Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On LSU podcast, we'll get you a preview of Game 1 of LSU Texas A&M from College Station. Make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On LSU podcast and the Locked On Today podcast. Jason Tatum put the Boston Celtics on his back, advance them out of the play-in round. Hear about it and get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Have an awesome Wednesday. Be back here tomorrow for a Thursday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Your team every day.